Our first case this morning is In Re Estate of Fuchs. Mr. Moyer, good morning to you. You may approach.
It pleases the court. This is an appeal from District Court, Fuchs County. The court sustained a motion, summary judgment, dismissing a petition for the probate of last will of Hubert Fuchs. Fuchs was described by his daughter as antisocial, difficult, argumentative, like to make life hard for people, never planned, never prepared, a challenge. I knew this man personally. That's all true. He challenges us here with a will he made in 1987 by a lawyer that no one had any idea that he would consult for a will, because the lawyer was the partner of the lawyer who represented Mr. Fuchs' wife in a bitter divorce case prior to 1987. Gilbert was, in addition to whatever his daughter says he was, certainly also the contrary. The issue here is that the will arrived anonymously in the hands of one of the two co-personal representatives in a plain envelope postmarked Omaha, Nebraska, July 5th, 2015. By that time, there was already an informal probate of intestate probate of Gilbert's estate being conducted in Pierce County. And Julie, the sister, one of the other brothers objected to the probate of this will and claimed in this appeal that the institution, beginning of the informal probate in Pierce County, and the fact that the will was produced more than 3 years, actually 3 years, 1 month, and 10 days, after the death of Gilbert Fuchs, bars the probate of this will.
Is that the relevant time, the date of the death of the decedent, is that the relevant time for the 3 years?
It would either be that or when they started the informal proceeding, and the informal proceeding was started, I believe, on June 12th of 2012, so the same problem still exists. And the problem is, of course, that the Nebraska Probate Code and adoption of the Uniform Probate Code contains a statute of limitations, which we never had before that code was adopted. And it says something about 3 years in there.
3 years after the decedent's death?
Yes. So, the court has faced this issue in a case called In Re Estate of Demets, which was recently decided. In Demets, the widow went to court and obtained a probate, an informal intestate probate of her husband's estate 14 years after he died. And in the course of that probate, conveyed certain real estate in which she'd been living to herself over the objections of her minor children.
In that case, have there been any other probate proceedings previously?
No. The first probate proceeding was the one I filed some 14 years after the death of the husband.
In this case, was there a probate proceeding ongoing at the time of filing this will?
It was ongoing. It wasn't finished. And there were multiple disputes in this thing between mainly the sister and the two brothers who were co-personal representatives. Jim and Joe. And they had mediated these disputes, and there was an agreement for mediation which had not been signed by Jim Folks and was to be signed on very shortly after this will was discovered, I think July 15th, when it was going to be held in contempt of court, and then the will came.
So how does the ongoing probate proceeding play into this situation?
Well, the contention here is by the appellees that the existence of that proceeding prevents the probate of this will, because the statute talks about a prior proceeding. But I want to point out that the defendant's argument would also bar the probate of a late discovered will, even if the late discovered will was discovered within the 3-year period. So I don't see that the code can be construed as saying that. In the Nemitz case, the court said that this is a matter of statutory construction. And of course, a matter of statutory construction is a question of law, and that's for the court. So in this particular instance, it's our contention that not only does the prior proceeding have to be instituted, but it has to be completed, because the statute says that the administration has to have occurred, and it hasn't occurred until it's completed in the first place. And furthermore, the statute does not say that it has to be commenced, which if they had meant that, they could easily have said. Furthermore, we have comments to the statutes, to the Uniform Commercial Code, or Probate Code, which indicate that a probate of a late discovered will is barred after 3 years, and the appellees rely on that. But that can no longer be the case, because after that comment was made, we adopted subsection 4 of our statute of limitations. And that subsection is the section that was held in Ray Estate of Nemitz to authorize probates even after the 3-year period following the death of the decedent, where there has been no prior probate. So I think we have to ignore that comment. It just can no longer be accurate or true.
What does that mean, no prior probate having been commenced or having concluded?
Having occurred. The word is occurred.
What
is that?
Commenced. That's same question.
Yes. What does that mean? That would mean to me, occurred would mean to me that it would have to be started and probated and completed.
Completed. That's your view of it.
Yeah, and that's my view of it. And I think that's the way you have to read these statutes. Nebraska comment to subparagraph says, except as provided in this section, prior proceedings adjudicate finally the rights of the parties. Well, if the prior proceeding is not final, it is not adjudicated anything. And therefore, I would say that it is still possible to come in with the probate of a late discovered will as long as the proceeding that was instituted prior is not completed, concluded, adjudicated.
Have there already been some partial distributions occur before the late discovered will?
Yep.
And what impact does that have?
My view on that is that the probate code provides for protection from good faith purchasers for value, for creditors whose claims have been allowed and paid. It provides for protection for the personal representatives if they have, under a mistake of fact, made distributions that would not have been made. The issue here is the farm. The 250 acres, which is referred to by the parties as the home place, that's still undisposed of. It's still an asset subject to administration in the state, and that's the asset which is left by the terms of this will to the oldest son, of course, Jim, my client. And that's, I think, the stake in this case.
Mr. Moyer, your interpretation of incurred, understand it. How would it apply where a probate is commenced informally and closed informally, but the one-year period that exists after informal closing for further proceedings has not yet expired?
That's troublesome to me.
That's why
I don't know what these guys are doing. You know, the people who draw the uniform probate code are pretty smart people, but some of the things that appear in the comments don't really seem to square with what they say in the statutes. So in the comment they say, well, it has to have been adjudicated. And I thought immediately when I read that, adjudicated, let's get out blacks and look at that, see what it says. And that's being passed on by a judge. Okay, well, but you don't do that in an informal probate. It just drifts for a year. And then I guess after a year, except for some things I can't think of right now, except for those things, I guess it's over. It's not really adjudicated. It's just kind of over. And I don't know if this will have showed up after the informal probate had been completed, whether there would be a chance to go back in and offer that late discovered will for probate. Not a question before us. I don't want to deal with it. Thank you very much, Judge.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Ms. Spahn, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Susan Spahn, and I'm here on behalf of Julie Albin and Jason Fuchs, who are two of the four heirs of Gilbert Fuchs. And I'll start with the question that's been raised. What is meant by the word
occurred.
Proceeding or occurred? Proceeding is open for administration. And the way I know that is because it's the only thing that makes sense for the statute. And if you look at the comments, the UPC comments to section 3-106, they provide comments to UPC section 3-108, which is our Nebraska code section 30-2408. And in those comments, they say that 108, which is 2408, afforded opportunity to probate will for estates that were not open for administration within the time permitted. So the comments, when the UPC, that group of attorneys and legal think tank, came up with this change in the UPC to add an exception to the general three-year rule, they viewed that as if during the 3 years that after the decedent's death, if the estate had been opened for administration, then any will after that 3 years was barred from being admitted into probate. So you have your final adjudication at the three-year anniversary of the date of death for those cases where a proceeding had been opened for administration during those 3 years. That's what the UPC think tank intended when they wrote these sections. And then another way I know that, or at least I would offer to you that supports that conclusion, is the estate of Harris case, which was referenced by Mr. Moyer in his brief. We offered the estate of Taylor. Montana is also a UPC state. And so when we look at states, other states' law, I only looked at UPC states that have similar statutes that we have. Montana's one of those 18 states that has adopted a version of the UPC. We cited Taylor because in Taylor, the Montana court said you can't apply equitable remedies to toll or extend that three-year deadline. That's a hard deadline. And that was before Montana had added the fourth exception that we have as subparagraph 4, Montana has it as subparagraph D. So that was added in the 1990s, I believe, to Montana, and then the Harris case came in Montana within the last 3 years. And in Harris, there had been no proceedings at all, and the will was admitted, I think, over 10 years after the date of decedent's death. And what I wanted to point out is that Mr. Moyer does quote Harris, and he says the general three-year time limit, but does not bar probate of the estate. To the extent that the estate of Taylor conflicts with this holding, it relies on abrogated law, and it is therefore overruled. But the sentence that leads into that conclusion is no other proceedings have been opened since Dorothea's death. So that's the key that Taylor, that Harris found to say Taylor doesn't apply, because now we have new law that says if an estate has been opened, has not been opened within that 3 years, then we can accept a will 10 years after the date of the decedent's death. So those are two great examples of supporting that proceeding means open for administration.
What's the basis for 3 years? Is that just arbitrary picking a number?
That's what the Nebraska legislature adopted, was the 3 year. And it's the general rule. It's the you can't admit back before we adopted the exceptions.
And what is the reason for that rule?
I think to allow finality and certainty of the distribution of a decedent's estate. If you haven't found a will within 3 years, most likely you're not going to find it. And it's time to move on and let the estate be closed and let the family have finality.
Is there some question in this case about the sort of unique way this will turns up?
Well, there are questions, and I don't think we'll ever know the answer to that, but the appellant was afforded time for discovery, and in fact, our motion for summary judgment was continued to afford him time to take all the discovery he needed, and they can't figure out where the will came from. We don't know where the will came from. It's one of those mysteries that we'll never know.
Does that relate to the reason you have a three-year cutoff?
I think so. I think the families deserve to know what's going to be accepted by the court as the last will and how that estate is going to be distributed amongst them.
Why didn't the legislature just say then if there's been no probate within 3 years that the decedent shall be presumed to have died intestate?
Well, and that's the way it used to be before they adopted the exceptions to the general rule. And for some reason, they decided to give leeway. And I think the reason for that is because a lot of times, I'm amazed, I've been doing probate for 25 years, I'm amazed at the number of times that people think everything is owned in joint tenancy, and it's not. So they may go to sell their house 10 years after their spouse died, and they find out that they only own half the house because it was titled in tenants in common rather than joint tenancy. I think in 1 year I opened two probates that were really late because of that reason. So there is a reason why sometimes you do need to open an estate later on because you discover assets weren't titled the way you think they are. But if you've had a proceeding where you've administered the estate and you're starting to administer the estate, then we need the finality that's afforded by 30-24.
You mentioned, Justice Stacy raised a question about what if there's distributions. There is a proceeding of some nature, and there are distributions outside of the family.
Yes.
Well, what happens to those recipients?
That would be a horrible conclusion here for them to have to pay back. Not only that, my clients have spent tens of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees to quiet title to the real estate because the personal representatives didn't do it properly. So they're out tens of thousands of dollars in a complicated quiet title action that they took on themselves as heirs and recipients of this estate. They went through mediation and had the memorandum of understanding was signed by everyone. All four signed the memo of understanding. That was in June of 2015. They have a hearing to confirm and approve the settlement agreement that was written based upon the memorandum of understanding, but neither Jim Fuchs nor Joe Fuchs would sign it.
Does the record show, in effect, the arguments with respect to the quiet title? There was a cloud of some nature that everybody wanted to remove,
yes,
evidently.
I believe that Julie Elvin's deposition talks about the quiet title action and that they had to take that over because it wasn't done properly. It's in Julie Elvin's deposition.
But not that they had to take it over. What was the basis of quieting?
Because they couldn't find the deed.
Okay.
There was no deed when Gilbert Fuchs. I believe her mother, his mother, had done a deed to him. I'm not quite sure of that, but I know that when they went to sell the home place or the farm property, they had all thought it had been titled in Gilbert Fuchs' name, but the Registered Deeds Office didn't reflect that. So a deed had
But it wasn't, substantively, it wasn't grounded in estate matters or estate debates. It was a looking for a deed.
Well, they looked for a deed. They couldn't find one. In fact, my client, a couple of years after her father died, or a year after when they were trying to find the deed, she wrote a note to herself. No will, no deeds, no title. This doesn't make sense unless someone took them. And that was a note she wrote, just documented to herself, her frustration at all these papers in his house, and they couldn't find any of the important papers that really mattered.
So there's a little bit of engaging in speculation there, isn't there?
There is. Even back then, what happened? Because the deeds are gone. The titles to the cars weren't there. So we don't know. We'll never know. But all, and even appellant admits we'll never know. Or we don't know. And you can't have speculation or conjecture as the basis to deny a motion for summary judgment, because there's nothing there for a jury to base a decision upon. That's the end result here that we see. So with that in mind, I'll rest the case and leave it in your hands if you have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. On we go to the next case of the day.